Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Barry Shubb, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID Vaccines. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Is it realistic to think that we're going to have oral vaccines in the near future?
Near future, I'm not sure about
that. But I don't even know what near future with COVID means, actually. So forget time is strange.
You're absolutely right. Well, you must remember we've had a very, very successful oral vaccine, the polio vaccine. In fact, the oral polio vaccine is probably the vaccine which has been played the most significant part in eliminating polio from most of the world. Mm. So yeah, that certainly that concept will work. You know, if we look at the immune system, we've got an immune system which protects the kind of the organs of the body, the main part of the body. There's also part of the immune system which we call surface immunity. In other words, it protects the surfaces, the nose, the throat, the gastrointestinal tract, and so on. And it's a little bit different because in the surface immunity, the antibodies that are produced are a different class of antibodies. I don't want to get too technical, but the antibodies normally in the blood, we call IgG antibodies, IgM and IgG. The one on the surface is IgA. Now, obviously, an oral vaccine will have a very clear advantage, is much easier to administer, much easier to take, and so on. But it's got a very important immune advantage as well, because if you stimulate the surface immunity, then you're going to protect your body from getting infected in the first place. And that's, of course, got a major advantage, not only for protecting the individual, but also for stopping onward transmission of the particular virus. Now, there is another surface immune or a surface vaccine which is used, and that's for influenza. There's a live attenuate. It's not licensed in this country, but it's a live virus used for influenza, where the virus is actually subtly changed so it doesn't cause illness, wow, but still stimulates the surface immunity.
Well, I guess much like polio, because that's also live, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Right. Yeah. Which we use to stimulate the surface immunity would need to be live, because they would need to replicate, need to multiply on the surface, whether it's the upper respiratory tract, the nose and the throat and so on, or inside the gut in the case of polio and so on. So there's been quite a bit of work in Israel, in fact. I was actually introduced to this about a year ago. We had a meeting with some researchers in Israel who were trying to modify a coronavirus vaccine which was very successfully used in the poultry industry, which is also administered orally and was very successful in preventing chicken coronavirus disease. And they were thinking, and their kind of idea was to kind of modify this chicken virus into, well, use the human virus, use the same technology and modify it in the same way. Now, that's about a year ago, and it looks like they're now starting to look at trials. So, look, it's potentially very exciting because it's very easy to administer, and if it does effectively produce surface immunity, that would be a win.
Isn't it a concern, though, that, and certainly I'm coming across it, and I have no doubt you must be as well, with the concern of vaccine hesitancy, doesn't a discussion like this maybe give people the inverted commas permission to say, you know what, I'm just going to wait for this because I don't want this injection thing?
Yeah, look, I think what we have to kind of educate people is that at the moment they would expose themselves to a disease which can be pretty serious, can be fatal. And you want to be protected as soon as possible. The other thing is this, I think, as we know, the kind of vaccines which are used at the moment are very good, but they're not 100%. And we know that there are what we call breakthrough infections. The vast majority of those are mild. But still, you know, you don't want to kind of be a vehicle to transmit to somebody where it can be serious.
Right.
So, when do you think?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I read that we're just over 7 million people. Obviously, not everybody fully there because some have only had one dose. When do we get to a point in South Africa where we can start to feel a little easier because enough people have either been vaccinated or have had COVID.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, that's a moving target, and it's a moving target because of the Delta variant. You know, about 6-9 months ago, well before the Delta variant, we were able to kind of calculate what we call herd immunity. And we calculate that from the reproductive number of the virus. Now, the problem is that now the Delta virus has got a very high productive number. Normally, it's about 2 to 3. With Delta, is probably up to 6. I'm talking about the basic reproductive number.
Right. In other words, it throws everything out.
And that, it kind of, raises the kind of level, the threshold, which we require in terms of community immunity before we get to herd immunity. So it's probably a lot higher than what we initially calculated to be about 2/3 of the population. It's probably more like now 70 to maybe even 80%.
Wow.
But, there hasn't really been any kind of definitive figure given yet, but probably certainly higher than what we calculated before.
Do we know very much about the Lambda? Is it in South Africa?
No, not yet. The Lambda is actually only a variant of interest. It hasn't really been classified as a variant of concern in the sense that, it seems to be more infectious, doesn't seem to cause more severe disease, doesn't seem to be a major, major problem. It hasn't been isolated in Africa, in fact. There was a false information that was found in Zimbabwe and in Egypt, but that was incorrect. It hasn't yet been found, so it hasn't really spread very widely around the world. So it's still only of interest, not really yet of concern.
Right, but it's the Delta that we're keeping an eye on. That seems to be the one
that
most countries are dealing with at the moment.
Throughout the world, in fact, spread rapidly throughout the world. It's really a very highly contagious virus, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's where we leave it. Professor Barry Shubb, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID Vaccines, thanks for taking the time to speak to us.